Hello, thanks for tuning in to another episode of NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice on Cannabis Radio. I'm your host, Bethany Moore. I'm the Director of Communications at the National Cannabis Industry Association. Today, I'm happy to introduce my guest, Kevin Quinlan. He's an entrepreneur and principal in the built environment and building design industries with a 16-year track record of success in quality on project design, engineering execution, and quality assurance. He currently serves as the principal of Mintropy, which provides mechanical, electrical, plumbing, and fire protection consulting engineering services across various market sectors and industries. Kevin is a registered professional engineer and provides professional engineering services nationwide. Additionally, he serves as a board member of a nonprofit organization that provides guidance and resources with an emphasis on one-on-one support for cancer fighters and caregivers. Welcome to the show, Kevin. Lovely to have you today.
Lovely to be here. Thank you, Bethany.
Great. So for our listeners, let's get to know you a little bit better, learn about your background. What kinds of things have you been working on before where you're at now, which is intersecting in cannabis?
Yeah, sure. So I guess we can start from kind of the early stages, but I have always been a very curious individual, mostly intrigued with the physical world, how it works, from an early age, what causes rain, what brings the sun up in the morning, and why does it set at night? Very fond of guys like Fermi, Newton, Oppenheimer. I knew from a very young age that science was something that was a particular fascination of mine, and also a strength, which kind of the two coinciding with one another sort of gave way to the career path that I eventually got into. I can remember back being an 8-year-old and reading the 1988 book, The Way Things Work, cover to cover in a few days, which was really strange for me. Not much of one to read a 400-page book, something that was very curious and exploratory for me. Kind of like watching binging a Netflix series or something like that at the time. Anyways, I went on to study physics in college, ended up with an undergraduate degree in physics and mathematics, and then went on to attend graduate school in mechanical engineering. Chose mechanical because I was more interested in dynamic systems than say static systems like structural or whatnot. After I finished up college, I was lined up with a job to go downstate in Illinois to Caterpillar, work for Caterpillar, but wasn't 100% confident that the town of Peoria or moving away from home was really what I wanted to do. So I decided to kind of explore the job market in the city of Chicago and see what else might be out there for me. Landed a interview with a firm then called Tang & Associates. This is back in like 2006, which is a big architectural and engineering firm located in downtown Chicago. Worked on all sorts of large scale city projects, 90-story buildings, large government projects, so on, etc. So I took the job there and started working as a mechanical engineer in commercial building design and joined their mission critical team, which really focused on data center design held that position for a while, did several other things in the industry, also worked in industrial facility design. And then eventually kind of got the curiosity and got the confidence under my feet to to start something that was uniquely my own. So I was ready to venture off and give this get out of corporate America and give myself a shot, and came up with this word mintropy, which is a combination of minimize and entropy. Entropy, for those of you that don't know what entropy is sort of the quantification, if you will, of disorder, or we could think of it as chaos. So the word mintropy is kind of a play on words. It's you know, the idea of our firm is trying to minimize chaos, both from a design perspective, but also from kind of just a life perspective. There's a lot of things that I think that that weigh us down in our day-to-day lives that if we can sort of sidestep those things, I think life presents itself in a much more lively and light fashion. So anyways, that's kind of how we got from, you know, there to here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, streamlining chaos is one of my specialties, so I can appreciate that. So with that history of where you're at now, where did the intersection with the cannabis movement and cannabis industry come in there? What's your connection to cannabis?
Yeah. So that's a great question. You know, I think there's a lot of different ways that we can peel that back. But I think firstly, when we're talking about from a business perspective, we our principal function as Mintropy is mechanical, electrical, plumbing engineers, MEP engineers. And we design HVAC, lighting systems, plumbing systems, fire protection. All of these systems are typically hidden behind walls. The occupants in these spaces really don't know they exist for the most part. So, you know, our jobs are full of very high level design, difficult, complicated systems. And for the most part, most people don't know what we do. So, you know, from that perspective, cannabis offers us a completely different world. In the cannabis arena, particularly in the cultivation arena, our systems are front and center. They're out for everybody to see. They are the lifeblood, really, of what's producing these plants. And, you know, for me, that's really, really, really cool. And that's really special, and an opportunity to showcase our work. Secondly, I find, you know, going back to the earlier conversation, I find natural systems, our physical world, so cool, and sort of is a core aspect of our business, designing in tandem with nature, and creating these real living ecosystems in a precisely controlled environment. It's quite it's honorable to be able to sort of mimic Mother Nature and all these things, photosynthesis, vapor pressure deficits, hydrological cycle, so on. And I guess lastly, you know, I'm a very big believer in the medicinal benefits of cannabis. We're still developing an understanding of how this plant can improve our lives, you know, from pain, antidepression, anxiety. Also an advocate of sensible drug policies, you know, the war on drugs that cost our criminal justice system, you know, billions of dollars. Sort of all these things combined give me you know, interest in the field.
Yeah, cannabis definitely has a lot of layers and intersection points that bring people together. It really is a community plant as well. And speaking of community, before we take our commercial break, you are involved in one of NCIA's committees, right? Our facilities design committee, which is very active, which I appreciate. Tell me what's going on with the committee and your involvement.
Yeah, so I serve on NCI's facility design committee. We are constantly looking to improve standards in the cultivation space, looking for, not only GMPs, but design philosophies that improve sustainability, energy, product quality, etc. It's a great committee full of a lot of very important people in the industry. I've had an opportunity to kind of cross-pollinate with committee members. Very good committee to be a part of, and very happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, they're super active, and we just published a five-part blog series called "Everything You Wanted to Know About Facilities Design, But We're Too Afraid to Ask," or something like that. So that's on NCIA's website for those who want to check that out as well. All right, let's go ahead and take our first commercial break, and then we'll come back and dive into some conversation about sustainability and cannabis cultivation with Kevin Quinlan of Mintropy. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice will return once we give a voice to our sponsors.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, we're back on NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice on Cannabis Radio. We're chatting with Kevin Quinlan and his company, Mintropy, and he's also a member of NCIA's Facilities Design Committee. So let's focus a bit on the discussion surrounding sustainability in cannabis cultivation. How can we design our facilities with a focus on that? I mean, it is important to focus on our goals for conserving energy, lowering our carbon footprint, protecting the environment overall and our practices. So let's talk a bit about how cannabis is currently grown in the legal market and how much energy it's taking up to yield our crops.
Yeah, it's very important subject matter, and the science behind it is continuing to evolve. But as for, because we focus on indoor cultivation facilities, we kind of focus my attention on that. So, you know, we like to think about indoor cultivation facilities as basically a swimming pool inside of a data center. You can imagine that requiring a lot of cooling and dehumidification, as far as quantitatively, yeah, as far as how much energy that uses, is really a function of how well the facility is designed. Now, if you go back to, you know, the early 2000s, Colorado and so forth, we saw, you know, residential type furnaces being used to serve those kind of loads. From a quantitative perspective, we could see anywhere between 50 to 250 kWh per square foot of indoor cultivation space. So it's kind of an pretty wide range. But to give you a sense of what that means, it's about 5 to 10 times higher energy density than a typical commercial building or an office facility. You know, most of the energy that we use in this environment is dedicated to cooling and dehumidification, HVAC purposes, and then lighting. All of these systems can be refined and designed in such a way that we can, you know, easily reduce 50% from our baseline energy if we consider the right types of systems. And it really has an effect to an owner's bottom line. It's not just good for the environment, but it's one of those things that really impacts owners and their ability to sort of flourish in this market. And as legalization, federal legalization becomes a real potential, the market will, you know, get more and more competitive. Prices will likely drop, and those that are paying attention to these sorts of things will be ahead of the game. So the name of the game is, how do we cool, dehumidify, recycle water, and light these facilities more efficiently?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we have the goals in mind of protecting the environment, reducing carbon footprint, because it's the right thing to do. But hey, it's an industry. We have to reduce our costs to do that also, just the bottom line. So is saving the environment through our business practices, you know, is that going to impact our bottom line positively or negatively? How, I mean, it's a little bit of both, right?
Yeah, that's a very difficult question, I think, because you can look at it in so many different perspectives. You know, we could talk through so many variables, indoor, outdoor. I will say this, if we were to compare the cannabis industry to the alcohol industry uses somewhere between 8 to 10% of their total operating cost of production. That comes from the energy component. Cannabis, we see anywhere from about 25 to 50% of our total operating costs come from energy. So that's roughly about 2 to 5 times higher. It has a real impact on our bottom line. And it's something that owners have to take very seriously. And those consequences have to be sort of evaluated in the programming phase, the very early phases before, you know, things are laid out and before somebody starts to build anything.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are some best practices or smart practices that we as an industry could start implementing right away. I think you mentioned water reclamation, geothermal energy comes to mind. I'm sure there's other ways we can design our facilities with these creative solutions to reduce traditional energy consumption, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So One of the key topics that we really push in our design is something called integral hot gas reheat systems. And essentially what we're doing there, one of the key aspects of having an indoor cultivation facility is this subject called vapor pressure deficit, which is what we sort of create in the space. It's a the plant basically sees a pressure difference, which allows it to transpire, or in other words, it allows it to take, give off water from the plant surface or the leaves. So we have to maintain this sort of difference in pressure, and what really controls that is our dehumidification, or how saturated the atmosphere is. Dehumidification requires two things. It requires cooling, subcooling, and then heating. And then just by it in and of itself is an inefficient process, because we're cooling and heating, right? So the idea of integrating a system that can reuse that energy that we originally used for cooling, take that heat and reject it back into the system is something that we always will design in our systems. A function of that dehumidification, 99% of that water that we feed the plant ends up in the atmosphere, ends up in our HVAC system, and we dehumidify it, we condense that water out. And so we end up with a very large portion of that water that we were feeding the plant in our HVAC system. We want to recycle that water. You know, there's that becomes a little bit more of a subject that we need to talk about in probably a different episode, how we do that, how yeah. we
sounds interesting for sure.
How we recycle that. But yeah, in terms of a sustainable environment, which this is one of those things that in the outdoor realm we really can't do, right? Recycle water.
Can't control the weather.
This is very true. Geothermal is another system in terms of heat rejection and coefficients of performance. It doesn't work in every scenario, and there are capital expenditures, but in certain environments and certain situations, geothermal is a very real solution, and that's something that we also like to use in our toolbox. LED technologies are also a big one. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd love to see how that works. The geothermal is really fascinating for sure. We have a couple more minutes before our next commercial break, but I wanted to chat about the ongoing discussion about indoor versus outdoor, which you alluded to as well. There's pros and cons on both sides. So let's talk about those higher level issues quickly on both sides as it applies to cannabis cultivation. And honestly, I'm seeing that cannabis, what we're developing in our industry, can impact other agricultural industries as well. Is that right?
Yeah. In the last 5 years alone, we've seen an enormous amount of technology and interest in the cannabis equipment space, not only from HVAC to lighting to water reclamation. You know, we're seeing all sorts of different extraction equipment, et cetera, innovations in gene genetic engineering that have application for the entire agricultural market. You know, disease resistance, pest resistance, climate tolerance, biomass improvement, all these sorts of things can be applied universally. But I think, you know, talking more about you know, the outdoor versus indoor, comparing the two. Indoor, we really have this an advantage in terms of the quality of the crop itself. We can precisely control the indoor environment in pretty much every faction. Mold, mildew, pests, you know, we don't have to use pesticides, forth. So we have a much higher degree ability to control our environment, and furthermore to control the outcome and the quality of the plant. And I'm not saying that in outdoor we can't produce quality, but we certainly don't have the amount of control that we do in the indoor environment.
Yeah, just costs a little bit more, right?
yeah. So yeah, that is the big downside of indoor is obviously the energy demands and the costs associated with construction. So for each particular owner and person that's looking to enter the space, that's a decision that they have to sort of evaluate from a capital side and as well as a future sales side.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's take that commercial break, and then we'll come back and wrap up our chat with Kevin Quinlan of Mintropy. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice will return once we give a voice to our sponsors.
All right, we're back on NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice on Cannabis Radio, wrapping up our discussion about facilities design topics with Kevin Quinlan of Mintropy. He's also a member of NCIA's Facilities Design Committee. I mentioned that committee is super active, makes me so happy. And there is that five-part blog series on our website, everything you wanted to know about cannabis facility design, but were afraid to ask. So that's a really good reference for folks to check out on our website as well. And I want to mention a couple announcements as well. Right around the corner here on Thursday, July 28th, if you're in the state of Colorado, especially if you're in Denver, register for our Colorado Industry Social. It's a two-hour event, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Thursday the 28th here in Denver. NCIA members receive complimentary tickets, but if you're not a member yet, you can buy some tickets online as well. It'll be a nice evening networking cocktail reception style event. We're slowly wading back into the in-person events here after taking all these extra precautions these last couple of years. But I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of Colorado NCIA members and folks that are in town. There's definitely several members that are coming from out of town to join us. So that's exciting. And then further down the road, it'll be more than 3 years at this point, but in September 13th and 14th, 2022, we're finally going back to Washington, D.C. We've been hosting our Lobby Days event over Zoom meetings for mainly our evergreen top tier NCIA members. But now we're heading back to D.C. for our 10th annual Cannabis Industry Lobby Days event. So our government relations team is behind the scenes getting meetings set up, forming teams of NCIA members as well. So it's important to register early if you know you're going to go, so our government relations team can do all that behind the scenes work before we fly out to Washington, D.C. and march around the Capitol. Really, we're going to the House and Senate buildings to meet with members of Congress and their staffers to talk about the important issues for our industry. And things are a little different now. Thanks to the folks, whatever happened on January 6th. So security's a little tight. So things are going to function a little bit differently as far as our access into the buildings, but it's going to be a great event. So be sure to register for Lobby Days. Yay, events. So as we're wrapping up this episode, Kevin, thank you again for being on the show today. Yeah, thanks definitely.
Thank you, Bethany.
Yeah, and for your involvement in our Facilities Design Committee. As I mentioned, they're super active. I love the blog content and podcasts and all this content that you're putting out to share with the industry so that we can be better, stronger, faster, and everything in between. Where can folks find out more about you and your company?
Yeah, they can reach us at Mintropy, www.mintropy.com. We have a page that you can input any questions that you have, or our main line is on the website as well. Feel free to give us a call. We are we enjoy speaking with people that have questions or any concerns. We're very relationship oriented at Mintropy. We'd rather shake hands and understand people's problems and fuel our own curiosity and try to come up with answers. So any of those work. Happy to answer project questions as well. So that's a great place to start.
Great. Thank you again, Kevin. And for our listeners interested in any of those events I mentioned or the blog series, everything you want to know about cannabis facility design, but we're afraid to ask, just head to our website, thecannabisindustry.org. Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice. Until next time.
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast, republication, or retransmission of this program without proper consent is prohibited.